if Bob is doing it, I'm waiting for him to give me a chance to copy them down, but he usually goes to the Bible verses. But here's the point. The point is that I had a problem. I wasn't remembering what Pastor was preaching. Now, granted, I've gone on my phone and I have the app and I listen to Pastor's messages. But when I want to know something immediately, it's right here. Every message that he's preached, I started this, I think, in 24. in 24. So I have every message. It's right here. I know what it is. I know what he preached. I know what he preached on Sunday a.m., Good Friday gobbledygook. And it, by the way, I've had to hear that message at least 10 times to finally get it. But I finally got it. So I had a problem. I couldn't remember. I wanted to remember, but I couldn't. So I fixed it. I wrote it down. I wrote it down, and now I can look at it, and the problem is solved. And but just getting back to things that that really aren't broken, but people want to fix them. And I always have a gripe with PennDOT. It seems like they're always fixing things that certainly do not appear to need to be fixed, and they don't fix things that appear that that need to be fixed. Now, they just closed North Main Avenue for 1 year to build a bridge. I don't know if you've ever seen the bridge that they are going to tear out. It was built in 1900. It is a stone arch bridge. And it looks in perfect condition. I've looked at it. I've taken pictures of it. It's 126 years old. And I will guarantee you that what they put there now is not going to last 126 years, for certain. But they're going to do it. So things get things that don't need to be fixed, they're fixing. And things that need to be fixed, they're not fixing. And I have a lot of things that need to be fixed. Like my notes. You know, as you get older, you start realizing that things don't last forever. and, you know, I have a tractor. It's a 1947. No, it's a 40... What is it? I can't even remember that. It's a 1947. I have an airplane that's a 1946, and I was born in 1949. Everything I have is old. And it just got that way by time. Hey, by the way, this building this year, 2026, is 140 years old. And it needs constant work, not only to improve, like the ladies' bathroom that we've improved, but it just needs to be maintained. There are things that no one may have ever noticed it, but the front of this building, the water had got in behind the stone, and there were all kinds of problems with the joints in the stone. It had to be repointed, it had to be cleaned, it had to be sealed. All that work, it looked like everything was fine, but it wasn't. And it applies to our lives. Everything may seem to be going fine in your life, but there are things that are not happening that need to happen, things that should work that aren't working. And, you know, there were two friends of mine, George and Frank, and they golfed all the time. And George said to Frank one day, they were out in the golf course, and he said, "I can hit the ball, I just can't see where it's going. My eyesight is bad." And Frank said, don't worry, I've got 20/20 vision. I just had cataract surgery. And he said, I can see, so you hit the ball, I'll tell you right where it went. So George hit the ball, I can't do it. He hit the ball, went right down the fairway, right straight down the fairway. And Frank was standing there and he said, I see right where it is, I see right where it is. And so George said, well, Frank, where is it? And George said, I forgot. That's an old person joke, you know? Okay. My father taught me how to, I mentioned earlier that my parents grew up during the Depression. And when things broke back then, you had to fix them because you couldn't afford to buy something new or it wasn't even available. And fortunately, my parents lived on a farm. They grew their own food, so they had plenty of food. In fact, they used to take it to town and sell it. They used to sell milk and cottage cheese and butter. But I learned from my dad how to fix things. And not everybody can do that, I've found out through the years. But, you know when, I forget what, Apollo 13, they were on the moon, something broke, I can't remember what it was. But they had the crew in Texas that had a mock-up of that actual lunar lander. I think there were 50-some guys, and they started trying to find out how they could fix what was broken on the moon. And they came up with, they took parts of this and parts of that that weren't needed, and they fixed it. And the guys up there, they told them what to do, they did it, and they came back to Earth. And the thing is that sometimes you've got to be desperate. You've got to become desperate to fix something. And otherwise, you know, your life may depend on it. So through the years, I've learned to fix things. And it takes work. It takes an effort to make sure that things are running. And you know, unfortunately, most people take better care of their automobile than they do of their own body or their own spiritual health. Not only their physical health, but their spiritual health. So I'm going to give you 5 steps. And if you're over 50 years old, you're not going to remember them, so you better write them down. You heard that, Marlene? All right, number one, identify what is broken. Sometimes you have to admit to yourself what's broken. Now, you can apply this to your prayer life. You can apply it to your soul winning. There's a number of things. You know what needs to be fixed in your life. You just need to admit it to yourself. Admit it to yourself. And prepare to fix it. So that's step number one. Step number one, identify what's broken. That's pretty simple. You may have to write it down. If it were me, I'd have to write it down. Number two, you decide that you're going to fix the problem. Because admitting that something is wrong, and let's just take prayer life, for example. You know how long you pray every day. And if somebody asks you, do you feel comfortable with the amount of time that you spend praying? You don't have to answer that, but if somebody asks you that, what are you thinking? If you're thinking no, well, then you need to fix it. I make an effort. It's the first thing I do before I even get out of bed is that I pray. I pray before I start my day and at the end of the day and throughout the day. But it seems like I never pray enough. I want to pray more, but you know, the things that go on during the day distracts us, and we just end up, the day is gone, and we haven't prayed enough. So if that's a problem, I'll use that as an example. You have to decide, after you identify that problem, is to decide that you're going to fix it. You got to do something about it. You know, knowing that it needs to be fixed and not doing anything is certainly not going to help it. Number three, plan how you're going to fix it. I had a problem remembering pastor's messages. I didn't have a way that I could have them easily, that I could review them. So I got a book. I got a blank book, and I start writing it down. And it helps me to remember. And I identified the problem, and I decided that I was going to fix the problem. And then, number three, I planned how I was going to fix it. I said, I need to get a book. So I got a book, a blank book. And then I started taking the notes in that book. You know, it's good to keep a record. The Bible says that... I forgot. Now, the Bible says that you need to know, you have to keep your house in order. You need to know the state of your,
Flocks.
Yeah, the state of your flocks. In other words, they're referring in the Bible to a shepherd. He's got sheep, and you need to know, you know, where the sheep are, and the ones that are the old sheep and the young sheep, and are there any that are sick? Are there any that need to be attended to? You need to know that. You need to keep a record. When I started soul winning, I got a book. It's about this thick. I think it's 19 years of giving the gospel. And every person I gave the gospel to, I wrote down in that book. I have them all in there. And it wasn't that I'm trying to put a notch on my belt or anything. I wasn't trying to prove something to someone. I just wanted to keep a record to see what I was doing so that I could know the next year that I shouldn't do any less, I should do more. We need to keep a record of what we do so that we know the state of our flocks. And that's number three. Plan how you're going to fix it. Get help. Get advice from someone. People come to me many times and ask for advice, and I try to help them because they have a problem and they want to fix it. So they're planning. They're in step number three. They are planning how they're going to fix it. And then number four, start your plan. You've admitted that you have a problem. You identified the problem. You decided you were going to do something about the problem. You planned on how you're going to fix the problem. And now in step number four, you just start to do it. I had the pen. I had the blank book. But I had to write in the book. I had to listen and I had to write. Otherwise, I wasn't implementing the plan. And that's just an example. And then number five, I thought these were going to take longer. Number five is experience the difference now that you've done that. It's amazing. There's so, you know, pastor's messages, and he spends hours preparing. And I feel, you know, when I come up here, after you've listened to Pastor preach, and then I come up here, it's a humbling experience. But all I can tell you for certain is that I know this works. And if it works for me, it'll work for you. So, but I had to write in the book. I had to start doing it. And now I'm experiencing the difference. I have all that information. I have all those messages that Pastor preached. All that wisdom, all the Bible verses. I have everything there so that I go through there and, you know, what he preached on may not apply to me that week or that day, but when you go back and look, there are things that Pastor preached on that may not have meant anything to you today, but or 2 weeks ago or a month ago, but they mean something today. You won't waste any time. I forgot to read the Bible verse that goes with this message. It's terrible. Okay. If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 2, and I'll read it to you. 2 Chronicles 24. I told you that story. I've said it before. Pastor Hiles was with John R. Rice, and they were preaching. They were preaching at some church, and they shared the motel room. I guess they were sleeping in the same room, and Brother Hiles said, what are you doing? He's leafing through his Bible, going back and forth. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to find a message, or I'm trying to find a Bible verse to go with my message. Okay, here it is. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2. Now, this is King Joash. He was, in verse 2 it says, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. King Joash was one of the few kings who did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he decided to do something. He realized that there was a problem. All right, now, just follow me here a second. Number two. All right. And verse number three. And Jehoiada, that was the priest, took for him... No, I wasn't going to do that. Took for him two wives, and he begat sons and daughters. But here's verse number four. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. In other words, the temple was in disrepair. They needed a new ladies' room. They needed to fix the roof. There were problems with it. And he realized, and he's a young guy. And I'll read it again. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. Are you minded to repair what needs to be repaired in your life? Are you minded? Is it bothering you? Or is it just something that you just blow off and forget about it and say, yeah, I need to fix that, but never do? You know, it does say in the Bible that if you go by the fields of the slothful, I don't know the exact words, and you see his walls around his fields are broken down and the weeds are growing, the vines are growing up over the walls, you can tell. You can tell what a person is like. I remember we were down somewhere in Lancaster, and they have these beautiful Pennsylvania Dutch farms, and they're just pristine, and they're all so neat and well cared for. And we were going down the road, and we saw this farm, and then we saw another farm, and then there was another farm, the third one down. And it was all falling down. And there were cows there. It was operational, but it was all run down. It becomes obvious to other people when there's something wrong in our lives, more so than the person who lives there. They may not even notice it anymore. It's just, you know, that's what I do. And that's what I don't do. So other people see things in our life. And you know, you can say, yeah, there are people who find fault with everybody. That's true. But what we're talking about here is that we have an effect on other people. And we need to make sure that our spiritual life is in perfect condition. And if it's broken down, restore it. So King Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And verse 8, and at the king's commandment they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. Now, we have a Joash chest here at Thanksgiving, which we put up here. Just a little box with a hole in it. And you just put money in there, and that money goes toward maintaining the building. It's a one-time of the year offering that, you know, that you don't think about the day before, but you start thinking about it on the day after Thanksgiving for next year, so that you can prepare for it, so that when the time comes, you can give. And the king was minded, and he identified the problem. And when he identified the problem, he decided he was going to fix the problem. And one of the ways, the third step here was he had to plan how to fix it. And he said, first thing we need to get money. So they got the chest so that people would give. He's an example to us of being minded to make a change in our life, to fix what's broken in our lives, and to maintain them. you know, and God promises us that when we put God first, and when we serve Him, when we give Him the tithe, we pay the tithe, we give first to God. We place Him first in giving. In whatever way that we are honoring God, we make sure that we put Him first. And where I sit in my office, I have bird feeders. And those bird feeders are close. They're like within where I'm sitting here, and the window is here. And then the bird feeders are about maybe 18 inches away. So I see these birds all day. And there's some birds that they will eat at the feeder, but they won't eat on the ground. And then there are birds that only eat on the ground. They won't go to the feeder. In fact, I've seen some of them try. They just can't do it. They're just uncoordinated. They can't hang on and eat at the same time. But I feed these birds. My dad used to do it. I don't know. I like birds. I guess I can relate to birds. And don't think bird brain. But but the one thing I do have in common with birds is that we both can fly. So, I feed these birds every day. And you have to go out like every second day to fill the feeders. And so in the winter when it's very cold and the feeders are filled, but the ground, the birds that eat on the ground, they don't have any food. So I opened the window, which is kind of perpendicular to where I'm sitting. I open the window, and I take this whole container of cracked corn and black oil sunflower seeds, and I go out the window like this, and it goes all over the ground. And they are so happy. They are just eating. They have to eat to live. You know, we live to eat most of the time. But, you know, I'm like God to those birds. I enjoy them. I feed them. I protect them. I put a barrier there because hawks come, and our big kitty cat comes, you know. And that's their enemies. That big hawk was sitting up. He was sitting up on the tree, a red-tailed hawk, enormous. I tried to chase him away. He was just looking down at me like, hey, don't bother me. The point I'm making is that I protect those birds and I feed them. And it's just like that. We're like birds to God, you know? God feeds us. He provides for us. And those birds give me enjoyment. And in return, I feed them and I protect them. And I'm using that as an example because God said in Malachi, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll get, what is that verse here? Malachi. Does anybody know that verse by heart? I used to, but I forgot it. Okay. Here it is. Here it is. Okay, verse 10 of chapter 3 of Malachi. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Every time I throw that corn out and those seeds out to those birds, it just reminds me of how God provides, how he has opened the windows of heaven and blessed me. And I'm sure he's blessed you. And we need to remember that. And how that relates to the rest of my message, I don't know. I don't know. But here's the point. The point is that if you fix what needs to be fixed and you care enough about your spiritual life and do something about it, that God has no choice but to bless you, to open the windows of heaven and just give you more than you can imagine. God does that. And I'm just going to go quickly. I'm almost done. Number one. I don't know why I wrote this on this kind of a pad, but number one, we need to identify the problem. Whatever it is in your life, make sure you do something about it. Make sure you do. If you don't start tonight, start tomorrow. But identify what you need to fix. And number two, decide that you're going to fix the problem. Don't just identify it and say, yeah, okay, it needs to be fixed, but I'm not going to do it. I know so many people who just procrastinate and never do things that need to be done. I'm not talking about anybody here particularly, but I know people, they just don't do anything about fixing what needs to be fixed. And so you have to decide you're going to fix the problem. Number three, plan how you're going to fix it. Get advice, get help. And number four, start your plan, start doing it, and don't give up. Hey, listen, it takes work. It takes work to pray. It's, you know, you can't just want to do something and not make an effort to do it. Everything requires work and discipline. And number four, just start your plan and just do it. And number five, experience. Experience the difference from before and after. You ever see the pictures of houses before and after? You know, after everything has changed, you see a difference and you feel a difference. And listen, we're only doing this. The only reason I'm even giving this message is that it will help you. And it will help me. It just reminds me that I need to. And it's not something you do once, because you fix one thing and then something else needs to be fixed. This is something you do constantly. It's going on all the time. In this building, it's constant. It's just one thing breaks and you fix another, and that breaks and you fix another, and that breaks. It's 140 years old. So it's a constant thing. And I'm just encouraging you that if you do that, that if you fix what needs to be fixed in your life, that God will bless you. Because Jesus died on the cross for us. I mean, he paid a very high price to save us, to pay the penalty for our sins. And if you're not giving the gospel, if you're not handing out tracts, listen, we have no excuse. All you have to do, all you have to do is to be able to take out, and I want to ask you, don't look now, but if you don't have a track with you right now, you need to change that. You need to fix it. I change jackets. I'm a hypocrite. I'm an absolute hypocrite. Okay. I usually don't wear this one, but... All right. So listen. Marion knows this. She said, I can't remember that, all that. And I said, well, you can read, right? And she said, yes. Didn't you lead someone to the Lord just by reading the gospel off the track? That's all you have to do. Listen, if you're not at least, if you're not giving someone a tract, you start out giving the tracts, and then start out talking, and then you just build it up so that you can give the whole gospel. It's not difficult to do. And that is something that Jesus said that we need to do. He wants us to do it. I want to obey him. I don't want to get spanked. I want to avoid being spanked. I used to get spanked when I was a kid all the time. I was just a bad kid. But my mom and dad knew how to fix it. And they sure did. So I want to encourage you. Thank you for listening to me. And praise God for his word. He's given us the instruction. He's given us the instruction book of life. We have no excuse. We have no excuse to not fix what needs to be fixed. We have no excuse to not be encouraged, because God has given us everything. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your word.